Ed's in the Cloud.
With your hosts, David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
Alrighty, so this is Graham Potter and
David Portnowitz for
Heads in the Cloud.
This is episode
four.
Another
fun episode. Yeah. Episode four?
We're on our fourth one already.
Unbelievable. We're on a roll.
Time is flying.
And this is a personal great friend of mine.
Yeah, we're going to be joined today by Sheila McGee Smith.
Sheila McGee Smith, yeah.
Who is a top analyst in the UC space and dog lover extraordinaire.
Dog lover. You'll hear more of that later, hopefully.
Yeah,
So here's an interesting thing. You know, I've known Sheila for many, many years, and she's got a lot of technical background from previous roles. But whenever I think contact center, I always think Sheila McGee Smith. So, you know.
And you come from the contact center world. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience at Rockwell?
I do. Well, Rockwell, and before that was Aspect.
Yeah.
You know, in the UK in 92, I think it was. I joined Aspect.
I was nine. Yeah,
you
I was
were nine?
Nine years
old. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know you then.
I was in second grade.
You were in second grade.
Yeah.
I bet you were you a good school child? Were you
best. You
good at school? You were the best.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Best.
I bet you had one of those little tin lunch boxes with you know, my name's David.
Transformers on it.
Transformers?
Absolutely.
Okay, fair enough.
Ninja Turtles.
So I missed out on all that stuff. So way back when David was only how old?
Nine.
9 years old. When David was 9 years old.
34
you know,
today.
I was in the
Thank you.
In the contact center world, got my first introduction into that. It's a fascinating marketplace. You know, many, many books written about it, lots and lots of blogs and articles. It's just fascinating. And where the industry's going, and we'll hear from Sheila later on, is just unbelievable. You know, that what people expect nowadays from a communication point of view. And thinking back then when we started out, I joined Aspect. It was Aspect Telecommunications. It's known as Aspect Software today. But Aspect Telecommunications was a company that came out of Silicon Valley. They came into Europe, and I was fortunate enough to head up the operational side of the business in that part of the world. And then later on in the 90s, I moved across to North America and became, well, actually prior to that, I was working for Rockwell, which was another large high-end contact center business with very, very, very large customers, people like Continental Airlines, mm-hmm. American Airlines, some of the big household names, Geico, big insurance companies, Vodafone, a lot of the big mobile
companies. And you guys are running
companies.
The contact center for all those companies?
I ran all the operational side of the business. So, you know, when I came to the States, I had worldwide responsibility for support and service. So that was all the support organization, all the teams that installed, project managed, just all the techs that were out in the field. Fascinating time to be in the contact center business, but those were primarily voice only.
Yeah, I was
going to
say
centers.
That. So that was back you know, then. It was the voice was the only. I mean, the calling was
voice,
the only way, right?
Voice was king. Yeah. Voice was it. You know, and but these systems were capable of handling hundreds of thousands of calls an hour. Monster
on prem. We're not talking
on-prem.
About cloud.
No, we're talking on prem racks of equipment. You know, just doing their thing, and you know, just amazing to look at. And I'm sure, and we'll hopefully get to ask Sheila later on. I'm sure there are plenty of those still out there today.
Yeah.
So
yeah. There's a lot of people that are still wanting and needing to migrate to
yeah,
cloud.
Yeah, that's got to be a tough decision to make, and a scary one at that. You know, do you just go ahead and upgrade something that you've already got and mm-hmm. go through that, which might seem at the time a relatively not painless, but mm-hmm. a relatively easier way to go versus that whole leap of faith that you got to make to go into this brand new technology and go for something that's cloud-based. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you've been used to a legacy on-prem system, letting go and putting all of that up into the cloud, and we all know that we do that every day of the week mm-hmm. without even thinking about it. But for a company that's reliant on that, and most of those big contact centers, the managers of those systems could tell you to the last dollar and cents how much they lose any time those things go offline. Trust me, I was on the back end of, you know, receiving phone calls when things weren't working right.
Mm-hmm.
That was an interesting time. So
yeah, it's an interesting debate whether or not a company wants to try to embrace technology, embrace the future, or possibly be concerned about a service disruption, right? So
sure.
You know, We've seen plenty, thousands of companies take that leap, and they're embracing things like AI and social media, but there are lots of companies out there that are still very focused on the voice.
You got an interesting story about that.
Well, I think, you know, when you talk about AI, people always get scared, right? I mean, there was a story this past week about Facebook and the AI system there. They were building, and the AI got too smart and started communicating in a language that the developers couldn't understand, so they had to shut it down. And then everyone, you know, freaked out and yelled about Skynet and Terminator, and Arnold Schwarzenegger came back, and, you know, it was...
That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know...
So I got an interesting story with that as well. This week, and I was sitting in the car with my wife, and we were driving along, and I use Android Auto. I'm obviously practicing... safe driving and whatever. So I'm texting through voice, and
you would
I'm
never
answering
text
calls. No,
with the phone,
absolutely
no.
not.
We don't recommend that. For
and
people.
So I use the OK Google command, mm-hmm. but I use it with a microphone on. So I didn't do the wake up command, but I actually said OK Google into the mic when I press the open mic, and Google asked itself, OK Google. So it got itself into a bit of a loop because
it was
bizarre.
Allow me to introduce myself. Could you imagine that?
We're going to be replaced in a couple of years' time.
Absolutely.
There's going to be a couple of bots sitting here. Heads in the cloud.
Robots in the cloud.
Robots in the cloud, yeah.
Speaking in some language no one can understand.
Yeah, how about that?
So pretty much like a...
Fascinating stuff. Like it's
your British accent?
Yeah, nobody could repeat that. Nobody can mimic that.
So, you know, I'm really looking forward to this discussion with Sheila. I mean, she is, you know, the expert in this industry in the contact center. I mean, and you have a great history here, so you guys go way back, and I think it'll be a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, she speaks a lot of events, and she's one of the big ones is Enterprise Connect in Orlando. You know, she always has a session there, and those are really well worth going to see. So if you ever get an opportunity, anybody that's listening into this podcast, then I thoroughly recommend it. And just that whole world around contact centers is moving, like the industry in general, moving so fast. So.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about the project you've been working on here at Star to Star on the
contact
center?
Yeah, so exciting. It's kept me gainfully employed for over the last year or so. So we've embarked on a brand new contact center experience. So we're putting in a lot of the newer technologies and features that we've always wanted to do. This is not a do-over of our existing Star Center 2. This is completely different. Completely different look and feel.
Mm-hmm.
Got lots of new cool features. Even in the first release, other following releases, we got a whole list of items and a queue of items that we know we want to do. So, you know, talking to people like Sheila is very important for us because it keeps us abreast of what's going on in the marketplace and what's next, what's hot out there, you know, the next sort of technologies that you want to bring into the contact center. So, yeah, that's coming close to we're in QA cycle at the minute. It's been my baby for some considerable time.
Almost a year, almost.
Yeah, it is close to a year. Yeah.
So we're excited to get that out the door.
Yep, indeed.
Yeah, so, well, we're... really excited about this conversation. Hope you will be too. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Sheila McGee-Smith.
So today we're talking to Sheila McGee-Smith, an individual that I've known for a number of years, back to my Rockall days, I think, Sheila. And so for those of you listening into this podcast, Sheila McGee-Smith Analytics was founded in 2000. Sheila herself is the founder and principal analyst at Sheila McGee-Smith Analytics and is a leading communications industry analyst and strategic consultant. We've seen Sheila writing a number of articles, a lot of market research. I know you're at many, many of the trade shows. Previously, I know you've been at the Polaris Group, and you are a techie at heart, I know, Sheila, because you've held product management positions at AT&T and other companies. So welcome, Sheila. It's great to have you on here. Whenever I think contact center, I think Sheila McGee-Smith. So that's about the best thing I can say for you. So over to you, Sheila. Lovely to have you on.
Ah, Graham, so nice to speak to you as well.
He's also a Twitter power user, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Twitter's, you know, it's interesting, Graham. You know, we've been in this market for a long time. I've been covering the contact center market as an industry analyst full-time since 1990.
Wow.
So that's 27 years.
Wow.
And so it's interesting as I look back, some of the leaders today, I was here to see them sort of come and grow and flourish. You think about Genesis that started in 1994. Think of interactive intelligence, the same, you know, 5-9, in contact. You know, I've had the enviable position of being able to watch them grow, and not unlike Star2Star.
Right? Yeah, I can take your mind back, Sheila, to March 19th of 2008 on the show floor at VoiceCon in Orlando. And you very kindly wrote an article on nojitter.com, New Kid on the Block, and that was all about Star2Star. And we were sitting right opposite the huge Cisco booth. We were dwarfed by blue shirts, red shirts, green shirts, white shirts, and we just had a little old Star2Star there, I think with three people in a rickety old booth. And that was us, and that was our start into the world. And here we are today with, I think, in excess of 40,000 customers out there, probably over 600,000 plus endpoints, and the company's growing and growing, and it's just beyond all recognition. You know, we're in about 77,000 square feet here in Sarasota, so we got to get you up here to the business
show. Or down here, if the case
or down here, yeah.
So Sheila's up in the northeast there.
Yeah.
So it's funny when I think of Star2Star and where you excel, I think about your channel programs. You know, I watch you, Graham, on Facebook. I watch you on Twitter, and I see you and the team flying around, meeting channel partners, going out with them, really, you know, instilling a sense of not just the product, but the culture that you have there at Star2Star. And so I think that's one of the differentiators that I've always sensed about the team there.
Yeah, and I can attest to that. I just did 9 cities in 10 days doing road shows with our team here. So I was on a bit of a whirlwind tour. I was actually up by you. We were in Boston and Princeton and New York last week, and then we did a bit of the Midwest the week before. So, you know, like you said, we are constantly meeting with our partners and trying to get them up to speed on what we're doing and listen to their concerns and making sure that, you know, we're taking care of them, that, you know, that they're our first priority.
Well, without the partner community, we just don't have a business. You know, yeah, we took a very early decision that we wouldn't sell direct. We sell through a channel, and that channel is very diverse, from agents all the way up to the really large players out there. But it's been the lifeblood of this company, and it's really taken us to where we are. I think the other big thing for us as well, Sheila, as you remember, when we started out, you know, people really didn't understand where to place us or to pigeonhole us. And at the same show, John Bartlett wrote an article about a distributed PBX, which is really what we were at the end of the day. And we had a hybrid solution that nobody really understood. You know, everybody wanted to say, oh, you're cloud-based. Well, yes, we are when it suits us. But you're on-prem-based. Well, we are when it suits us. And so we came out with this kind of technology, which was in 2006 when we started the business, and here we are today, where a lot of other people are starting to realize that hybrid solution is a great way to go, and really, in our opinion, the only way to go. So
let's get back to talking about what you're here for, which is contact center, and I know it's a passion of Graham's as well. So why don't you lead us into that, Graham?
Yeah, so Sheila, you and I have kind of batted backwards and forwards some discussion points, and I know one of those items is really the contact center meeting digital transformation. And I know you've got some great thoughts about that. So why don't you go ahead and share that with us?
To start out, Sheila, what is digital transformation? Like, how do you classify that?
You know what? I'm going to even layer it back one step before that. So I think a couple of years ago, one of the notions in the sort of customer care, customer experience space was the notion of a customer journey, right? I think very well we moved past this notion of just talking about multi-channel and omni-channel to something that made more sense both to customers and to other people in the business, right? Customer journey, you know, I've been able to tell that concept to a 10-year-old and they can understand it. And that being that, you know, when you want to contact a company to either buy something or get something serviced, typically today your first step is not to pick up the phone. You go to the website, you might chat, you might even, you know, look on Twitter to see if other people have had the same kind of issue. And so tracking that journey is important, right? And having information about the journey that a customer has been on and delivering that to an agent can be a great way to jumpstart customer experience, right? Instead of having to start all over every single time. So in 2015, 2016, the notion of customer journey got a lot of traction. The transition that we're seeing now in 2017 is more conversation about digital transformation in general. So what does that mean? So digital transformation is essentially, you know, any technology that connects people, machines, or information. But the transformation part of that is realigning the foundational concepts of an entire business, from the operating model to the infrastructure, touching every single business function. And what we found from the contact center when we tried to talk about customer journey is that a contact center couldn't implement everything that needed to be done to create a great journey. So if the purchasing people didn't have great digital alternatives, then things broke down. If shipping wasn't sending out and making available information about tracking, then that broke down. And so it's more important now that we talk about improving customer experience by making sure that the entire company is on this journey. So what has that meant? Okay. So that's meant that instead of it being a contact center kind of a effort, it's really a CEO, a CMO, a CIO kind of initiative. And whereas, you know, even 10 years ago when people talked about digital transformation, it was really about IT transformation. Today, it's about every single department, from marketing to sales to human resources. And I think that's where this notion of a next-gen communication system that goes across the entire business and isn't just concentrated in the contact center comes into play. So I think that's where, you know, Star2Star that has a solution that's not just for the contact center, but across the entire business, begins to play into this notion of transformation being across the business.
Sure.
And then that even really starts in social media a lot of times nowadays. When you look at, you know, if a customer has an issue, you know, maybe the first place they go isn't to call a contact center. It's maybe to make a comment on Facebook or on Twitter. And then you've got to be able to be responsive. And because otherwise it can turn into a huge PR nightmare, like we've seen with some of the airlines or some of the, you know, other sort of social media cases out there that have gone viral for maybe a company not replying quick enough, or, you know, maybe a celebrity gets involved or whatever the case is. So I think that's really, really important to understand that it can start anywhere. That conversation can really start anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I think one of the things that's happened over the last few years is that social media has moved beyond that disaster mode. You know,
mm-hmm.
We're here to monitor social media to avoid a disaster, and more to it's just another communication channel, and it happens to be the preference of certain groups, right? And so I'm sure you're familiar with there's a benchmarking report that a company called Dimension Data, a global.
Mm-hmm. Know them well.
Mm-hmm.
So the great part about their data is that they have been collecting it for 20 years. And what they are finding is, first of all, 50% of the interactions coming into contact centers are digital in nature, right, that are not voice. But also, we probably still have more voice than we need, because we're not doing as good a job handling those other channels as we need to. So if you look at how people want to communicate, you know, and how they do communicate, it's so funny, Graham, there's some great data that came out of Ofcom, which is the, you know, the sort of FCC equivalent in the UK.
Sure, yeah.
And yeah, they do a communications diary, right? And I have this graphic that shows, you know, if you're over 35 years old, contact centers today are doing a great job sort of meeting your needs. You know, there's about 40% email, about 40% phone, maybe 10 or 15% texting, and a little bit of social. And that's about what contact centers today are striving toward. But if you look at those under 35 and what their communication preferences are, it's 50% text, it's 2% email, it's 30% social. And so I show this sometimes when I do speaking engagements to say, you know, we're doing a really good job for old people, but what are we doing to, number one, you know, support those younger demographics, but also prepare for when they are the main part of the marketplace, as increasingly they are.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you think of some of the youngsters out there today. We're never, and I often talk about this when we have partners in here, and we meet new partners every month in this building or in a hotel nearby. And many of those those youngsters will never ever know what a landline looks like. You know, they're just so wrapped up in other communications forms. You know, I've got a young guy next to me now who falls into that young person bracket.
Just barely.
He's 34 years old, so I just missed that threshold. You know, where I fall into the elder category.
Yeah, but we're doing a great job servicing
I'm a frustrated techie at heart, so I kind of got one foot in the new technology and one foot in old habits.
And you know what's funny is my preference would be if I have an issue with like my cable or my phone, my preference would be to go online and chat with somebody.
I'm the same.
I don't want to call. Yeah. I mean, the calling today
is the last thing you'd want to do.
In a lot of situations, you know, especially if you're dealing with like Verizon, you know, these big companies that have had, you know, it takes 20 minutes to get through. I mean, chatting is so much faster. And you know what? What's great, I love, is the call back, right? So call up, get my phone number. It's going to be a 12-minute wait. Call me back. I love that. That seems to work. I do that with Delta. That's a great feature that I like.
So one of the things that's going on here is, how do we make chat better? And if you think about one of the big topics in 2017 in technology is artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And how do we start applying that? And it's interesting, in 2016, February 2016, Salesforce, who is the CRM for, you know, the largest CRM company, sure, the cloud-based CRM, but they announced a platform called Einstein, which was going to be their AI, artificial intelligence platform. And I remember thinking at the time that that's a first step, that's, you know, it's going to be years, kind of like Watson, before we really begin to see the impacts. Surprisingly, and great for our market, is that Salesforce has done a great job of taking Einstein and applying it to each of the different clouds they have. And for contact center, that's the Service Cloud. And so already we're beginning to see their ability to send information that's gone through machine learning to that, either to a chat bot, because, you know, you may be dealing with a bot, and you know what? I don't even care if it's a bot if they've got the answer.
Right, yeah.
Or sending information to a live agent that gives them a so much better idea of why you're calling and what's worked in the past. If it's a problem, if it's a sale, whatever it is, it's taking all that data that Salesforce has always collected, crunching it through machine learning algorithms and making it available to the agent. That's the exciting part of this. Yeah, chat is great. How do we make it even better? How do we make that agent even smarter? And that's such an exciting piece, I think, of what's going on as you move toward digital transformation. But it's interesting, you don't get there when you're on, you know, premises-based PeopleSoft systems that were put in 15 years ago. I mean, just last week, I was talking to a major global financial services firm, and they were on exactly that, a 10 or 12-year-old, since it was last updated, premises-based system, and they're really struggling with this notion of, do I just do a dot release upgrade? That's the path-based resistance. Or do I go into an Oracle cloud? Or do I go to somebody who's cloud first? You know, and so these are the big decisions that people are coming to. But you don't get to that point where you can start deploying Einstein artificial intelligence if you do dot releases on premises.
No, that wouldn't make any sense at all. I mean, how much of that legacy do you kind of hear about out there now, Sheila, or see about? You know, I was part of that many years ago, obviously with some of the very large systems with people like American Airlines, Continental, Geico, as part of the Rockwell business. I just wonder how much of that exists out there today.
You know what? It's funny. Just this week, Frost & Sullivan had a number out there that 24% of the sort of embedded base of contact center seats is either hosted or cloud today.
Right.
Mm. And I actually think it's an aggressive number. It still leaves 75% of the market not,
yeah,
right?
That's incredible. 75%
of the market. on legacy stuff, but I even think it's an aggressive number, because I think the number that other analysts and myself that we talk about in this market is closer to 15%. And as you know, Graham, it takes a long time to move some of these huge systems.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the that are taking the longest are the ones that are 40, 50, 60,000 agents, right?
Yeah, and those are big, big systems that are probably very high-performing systems, you know, in terms of basic call processing or just typically voice. But, you know, as we all know, it's a very different world today.
They're making these changes to new technology. They're also doing a digital transformation. What, you know, if we have 60,000 voice agents today, what do we need in 2 years? What do we need in 5 years? It's interesting. Just this week, I was pinged by a major carrier saying that they're working on their 2020 to 2025 vision. And could I work with them on, because you have, if you're a carrier, as you know, you're thinking now about what do I want to look like in 2025?
Yeah.
And what are the steps between here and there? Because if I don't start looking at that, it's not going to happen.
I know when we were trading emails earlier, Sheila, or in the last week or so, we were talking about what innovations digital transformation will enable. You mentioned some examples. You had an example for the Internet of Things. Why don't you share that to our audience?
So let me backtrack to what is Internet of Things. I'm sure a lot of your audience knows, but just a quick definition is that, you know, everything today can be connected to the Internet. So that anything that's connected to the Internet can be part of a network that's delivering data to some data source called the Internet of Things. The interesting part of the Internet of Things is what do we do with that information, right? How do we use it to better serve customers? It's used for a lot of things, but customer care is a primary one. So, or is one of the drivers of new Internet of Things applications. So I had the opportunity to listen to somebody from Virgin Active earlier this year. So Virgin Active is part of the big Virgin Global brand, and Active is a group of their fitness centers, right? And you think, my gosh, what does Internet of Things have to do with that? And their CIO spoke to a group of analysts like myself and said, you know, our challenge is to get members involved so that they come back and they use the facilities and they want to be part of this community and they keep going for their own health and for the health of our business, right? And so he thought, what can I do to better bring that user, that member into the fitness center, right? So he had a really interesting visual map of sort of, you know, from the parking lot to the bathroom, you know, every single point, and even some external locations, points where members interact with the Virgin Active brand. So he said, what could the Internet of Things do for me? If I had if I could paint this rosy picture and had all the money in the world, well, I could have them access secure parking using an application, right? I'd have sensors in the parking lot, and I'd be able to tell them, go to F5, that's now been reserved for you. I could allow them to participate in sponsored outdoor events and track their participation through some sort of wearable device. And then their outside participation would be part of their membership. I could use biometric data to understand member usage patterns and group needs to offer a more seamless active experience. I could let them book a personal trainer. I could use the IoT to help deliver service to employees in clubs. So it's some level, and I know they've got a little bit of a bad rap right now, but it's like, how do I Uberize my business? You know, taking away all of the crap, you know, that's happened with their brand in the last 3 or 4 months. But what's great about Uber is how they helped create an experience that we all use and we all love.
Sure we do, yeah.
Yeah, and how do we take that experience to other businesses? And so the Internet of Things is part of that, right? It's part of extending that digital experience. So it's just another great example, and I'll do it more quickly, is Bosch is a big systems integrator in Europe, as you know, Graham. Mm-hmm. And they worked with Deutsche Telekom, the German equivalent of AT&T or Verizon, and did a parking application for the Internet of Things. So again, this one, you know, we talked about that with the fitness center, but it was there was a great statistic, and as a New Yorker, I really resonated with it, which was 30% of the people driving around in a city are looking for a parking spot.
That's crazy.
Now that number seems low.
Right. And what they did, you know, what they've done in a test city is, again, you put sensors into the parking lots, into the parking spots in the street. When people come into an area, there's a board that says where parking is available. There's a way of, you know, blocking a spot when somebody's selected one. And it's funny, that becomes less customer experience than citizen experience. And think about applications in hospitals as patient experience, right? The contact center and customer care isn't always about, you know, for-profit businesses. It can be government. It can be healthcare.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have those kind of customers as well.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. So I have one last quick question for you, Sheila, because I know we're kind of getting close to our time window. So you mentioned earlier on about some of the companies, you know, legacy systems out there that maybe trying to make that decision on a dot release, or whether they make the decision to go the whole way and make that leap of faith into this new era that we're in. You know, how should a company in that kind of position really begin? What should they do? Can you outline that?
Yeah, it's interesting. So, you know, thinking back to our old days when we actually went out there and started putting this stuff in, Graham.
Yeah.
People talked about a flash cut, right?
Oh, where yeah.
every
yeah.
you know, overnight you'd do it. I remember being involved in a flash cut of 1,000 a phone system at the Lord and Taylor on Fifth Avenue. And I was like 1 year out of business school. But we did it. We just flash cut, and that was the way to go. Today, there's a lot of, migrate departments and then migrate locations. And I think those are interesting strategies, to be honest. I think as I've listened to companies that make a move, right, who look at what they have and find that it is so dated and so difficult to do business with what they have, I'm hearing more that equivalent of a flash cut, really making it all happen in a felt swoop, is a better strategy than this sort of, we'll start in this department, we'll do this site. Certainly a company needs to look at aging out of their equipment, right? You're certainly not going to throw something out that's 2 years old.
Yeah.
But as we know, there are people out there with stuff that hasn't been touched. And I like to say this, since the 2000 scare, you know, everybody made sure everything was good for 2000, but we've had a couple of economic downturns since then. And so often this has not been an area that got the priority. So I'm a big fan of the flash cut.
Good for you, Sheila. Go for it. So I want to thank you personally so much for joining us. I know you're a busy lady. Never mind looking after all the
how many
the
dogs you got.
We're talking five
you
coming
have
up soon.
Four Labradoodles. What are their names right now? What are the dogs' names?
Yeah, Logan is the oldest. He's 10, and then Abby is 7. Gracie is 5. And Scooter, who is the most adorable chocolate you've ever seen, just turned 2.
And you have a fifth one on the way?
Yes, Fritzy. Little girl.
Oh my gosh, I love Labradoodles so much.
Got to see the photo, Sheila. So bless you. Thanks so much. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we really appreciate you.
Heads on the cloud,
yeah.
And we'll bump into you soon. We got to get you here to the office.
You know what? You're inviting me there. Get me up on that plane. You know that would be something.
You want to go on the little plane?
You
huh?
want to go? We'll get the plane down.
Silver
we'll
Star.
Pick you up. We'll get you down a Silver Star. All right, Sheila. Take care, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Sheila.
Bye bye.
Thank you for inviting me. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
So we just had a tremendous interview with Sheila McGee Smith. I know a close friend of yours, Graham, and
sure,
someone
yeah.
that I follow closely on Twitter and
hard,
across different analyst relations.
Hard not to.
She's one of the most
frequent tweeters. That I
yeah,
think
she's
I,
but she's got great information, great
yeah,
content.
It's fabulous,
and we're lucky to have her on. I know, you know, She hit on a lot of points, AI, Internet of Things, contact center. But I think it all kind of boils down into, you know, interaction, right? You know, how do we capture all the interactions that are taking place, no matter where they're starting, and making sure the customer is happy in the end? And I think it's all about that.
And make a good job of it as well. I mean, there's a lot of companies that I think have started off down this digital transformation, and they're kind of half-baked. You know, they don't do a good job.
Right.
The customer experience isn't that great. So people go, I mean, there's been all kinds of comments about, you know, calls that are being answered, you know, actually voice calls. But the other side of it, the digital side of it, the other forms of communication are so important. And if you do that and you offer it, you got to do it well. And you've got to provide that kind of
service. But if you do it well, you get rewarded. I mean, I see so many times if you're able to help a customer out or help someone out, that message gets amplified so well nowadays, so much better than it used to be. And that can really help your brand. I mean, we've seen small brands been able to elevate themselves very quickly using social media, using Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, areas like that, where they can really make a huge impact with not a lot of, you know, it seems like a very basic thing and they do it well, but that resonates with the customer.
It does. I mean, I look back at my early involvement with contact centers. They were machines. They were monsters. You know, those things were handling hundreds of thousands of calls an hour, but it was voice only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
you've got to be multi-channel.
You've got to be multi-channel, and you've got to, as I say, you've got to do that well. So, you know, that's how I first met Sheila all those years ago. You know, and we've remained in contact ever since, and she's one of the leading forces out there in this marketplace.
Yeah, she's great.
And she speaks at a lot of events. And anybody that's been to Enterprise Connect, go check out the sessions that Sheila runs. They're very well run. She runs a lot of panels. She's constantly writing articles. So, you know, great person. As I said before, or later on talking to Sheila, when I think contact center, I always think Sheila McGee Smith. So.
And I think Labradoodle.
And
I also
yeah,
think Sheila
McGee Smith. She's got a lot of pets.
There's a chocolate lab, right? Is there a vanilla lab?
I don't know. Is there such a thing? I had a chocolate lab years ago, right? Bless him. He broke my wife's knee, unfortunately, but he's no longer
maybe
with
if you
us,
had a vanilla lab, it would have gone better.
Maybe it would have gone better, yeah. Who knows? Do you have any dogs, David?
You know, I'm dogless at this moment. I had a hamster once.
Did you really?
Yeah, his name was Oreo. He froze to death.
Did he really?
It's a true story, yeah.
Would you put him outside? And
yeah, he left him out overnight.
Actually, my daughter had a hamster years ago, and it had one of those hamster balls, and it rolled into a pond and drowned, unfortunately. That was a really sad story.
So basically, we froze a hamster, and we drowned a hamster. Moral of the story, don't buy a hamster.
don't give your hamsters to David and Graham.
Well, we thank everyone for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Sheila, and we will see you next time on Heads in the Cloud. This is David Portnowitz and
Graham Potter.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.